everybody. How you doing today? We're going to mix things up just a little bit today. Don't get upset with me. We're going to stand and we're going to sing, Are We Downhearted? Are we downhearted? Heavenly Father, thank you for the beautiful day, Lord. Sun's a shining. It is just a gorgeous day, Lord. Another one of your masterpieces, Lord, and thank you so much for it. Thanks for the opportunity to come here today, Lord, to your house to worship you. Thanks for this song, Lord. People drive by, hear that, probably think we're all a bunch of weirdos in here, Lord, but Lord, we love you and our Savior you gave to us to sacrifice himself for us, Lord, so that we can have a way into heaven. Thank you for that, Lord. Be with us today, Lord, as we study along with our pastor, just guide and direct, Lord. I pray that you'd make John the strongest man in the room today, Lord, as he delivers, that it would please you, Lord, in what he has to say today, that it came from you. Guide and direct, Lord, I know that you will. Pray for our nation, Lord, the many freedoms that we have, but a lot of trouble in our nation, Lord. I just pray for it, that people would learn just to live with each other, Lord. Guide and direct, Lord, I know that you will. In Jesus' name, amen. Gonna tag team on you here. Doug's coming up now.
Thank you, Lonnie. Psalm 96:4 says, "The Lord is great and greatly to be praised." And certainly, that's what we want to do in our worship service this morning. Turn to number 380. 380. Jesus saves. Now, you probably noticed in the bulletin it says we're starting on the second verse, 2, 3, and 4. As we sang the first verse in Sunday school this morning. So we're going to start out on the second. All right. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news. Every land, climb the cliffs and roof caves, earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Now the third, sing above the battle strife. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, by his death and endless life. Jesus saves. Saves, sound the silence of gloom. When the heart for mercy craves, sing in triumph o'er the tomb. Jesus saves, Jesus saves the last. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the name now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation, fallen free. Highest hills and deepest caves, this our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Amen. Praise God. Brother Lonnie.
announcements for the week. Let's see. How about tonight, 6 o'clock, starting here, we are having communion tonight, correct?
Yes, we are.
Yes, we have communion tonight, so don't forget that. Men's Bible study is going to meet on the 13th and 27th of May. Personal evangelism is on the 6th and the 20th. Women's Bible study at Cottage Grove is on the 6th. The 17th is going to be a prayer breakfast for the men. Ha, that's great. Training class will be 18th at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Pastor's thought for the week. Hell insurance versus heavenly harmony. Is our earthly walk one? Both or none? Guys, you'll come forward. We'll take it more often. Lynn, would you ask a blessing, please?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for this time here to be in your house and hear your word. Plant it in our hearts, Lord. Help us to follow you with everything that we do. Thank you for your gracious love. We thank you for this beautiful, beautiful day you've given us. It's something just to stand before us in this life. Help us to look forward to that time, Lord, and give us the strength, guidance, and everything that we do. And let's look forward to the time we will come again. We will come. Ready to take this offering.
Autumn? You gonna sing, Autumn? Okay, Autumn, come up here.
I'll give Jason a minute to get the volume control back there for that. This song is called Behold the Lamb, the Victory. And it's obviously about Jesus, the Lamb of God. And so I'll do my best for him. And just, I ask you to turn your hearts toward the Lord. I hope you can hear the words to this song and that it will help you be joyful in what you have in Jesus. See him there, the great I am, a crown of thorns upon his head, the Father's heart displayed for us. Oh God, we thank you for the cross lifted up. On Calvary's hill, we cursed your name, and even still, you bore our shame and paid the cost. Oh God, we thank
thank you for the cross. Behold the Lamb, the story of redemption written on his hand. Jesus, you sacrifice for every sin, our Savior died, the Lord of life can't be contained. Our God has risen from the grave. Oh, our God has risen from the grave.
Let's see. I was asked to ask for a consensus. Is that right, sir? Mother's Day is coming up, and we're wondering, in the past, we have not had evening service on Mother's Day. Is that kind of the consensus of the crowd?
Okay.
Yes. Okay. So there will be no evening service next Sunday. So thank you.
Thank you, Lonnie. Everyone. What a wonderful day it is to be alive and to be experiencing our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Autumn, I thank you for that presentation this morning. We sing that song occasionally out at Moscow, but you know what I'd really like to say about that is, couldn't we just sit here today and maybe listen to that over again? And not because of the presentation, but because of the message. And those are the things that I seek in my life. Maybe some of you do too. When you can just sit there and think about Jesus, And the graphics there were excellent today. The three crosses of Golgotha. Yes, young people, you may go down. But that's the thing that I covet in my life. And usually when I get started on something like that, tell me what happens next. The phone rings, some need arises, and we move on and we have to let it go. But I don't want to let it go. And it fits perfectly today with our message as well. But we need to set out and take time and enjoy the victory in Christ, but also just to think about Him, what He did, you know, His hands. That's what impacts me in that song, you know. The victory was won. We have the marks in His hands that we'll see through all eternity. Anyway, greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are alive here in Christ. Hallelujah. And I hope you're today alive in Christ. But the church still remains. It's active today in our world. The Lord has not seen fit yet to invoke His end times activities in particular. And we are still here and able to come and worship Him and fellowship with one another. So again, and to be fed on the Word. So again, it's a great day once again for what God has in store in your life and in mine today. And hopefully today He'll speak to us through the text. It's a message that's a part two. I do have a couple of extra copies of it if anyone's interested. I know one person was, and I helped them with that this morning. But of all the messages I preach, I'm going to say for now, this is the most important one. But it's really been laid heavily on my heart. It's been in my hopper for quite a while to preach. Hopefully it will be important in yours as well as we consider it, because it is vastly important today. It affects not only our salvation, potentially, in the sense is, are we really saved? But it also is important because one day we will see Jesus face to face. But not only that, but it makes an impact on our life before we go to see Jesus even. And it's an important thing that we get it right. Ezekiel had to bring forth some hard messages to Israel, to Judah in particular. And I the same am called to bring forth the Word of God, because if I don't, the blood is on my hands. But we'll explore that today in our text. But today I just want to also encourage you as a believer in Christ to be with us here this evening at 6 o'clock for communion, and invite you to that as well. But today the message is part two of Gambling with God and Losing. And our key text this morning will be found in Ezekiel 32 and 33. The Christian sin and God's grace. So with that said, let's take a few moments here. And if you're visiting with us here today, we're glad you're here. We're glad for everyone that's here. By the way, and I'm going to pray here in just a moment, but pray for your neighbors, your friends, your enemies, our communities. Pray that they will come under the hearing of the sound of the gospel and respond and come into or be restored into a vibrant walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our prayer today in part, but as an important thing as we go into this time of fellowship in the Word. So let's take a few moments to pray silently, and then we'll get started, and I'll follow with a corporate prayer, a pastoral prayer, and we'll go into the text. Let us pray together. Lord God, I give You thanks and praise once again this day. Another week has rapidly rolled past. Time is fleeting. Lord, we all know that we are headed to a destiny. And I trust today, Lord, as I praise You, first of all, for what You have done in Your creative work, Your redemptive work toward man through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what You have prepared, Lord, for eternal provisions for those that have trusted in Him as we've been forgiven and redeemed. Lord, I do also know and am aware of what is prepared for the soul that rejects You. And I know, Lord, that that lake of fire is something we must warn people about. We must warn people about the effects of sin, that is so important that You literally had to come and die for us in our place to take that punishment. I pray today, Lord, people would be touched with Your grace and Your mercy and Your love and compassion that You have for us, but also aware that sin is due justice and that You are a God of love, but also a God of wrath. and unredeemed sin, and sin in general, is never going to be blessed by you. So I pray today, Lord, that we would get our hearts straightened out before your throne this day. That in that happening, people's lives would be changed. That there'd be a load lifted today. And Lord, that we would seek your face with a devout and sincere heart this day and in the days to come. I thank you today, Lord, for every person that's come through the doors. I pray that you would, again, work in all of our hearts this morning as we look into your word. I pray, Lord, this morning as well for those of our number that may not be here today for various reasons. I know there are some folks in our midst that are not well. And Lord, we think of Marlon today and others, Lord, that are struggling with health issues. But Lord, and also others, I know that Marilyn has a grandson that is struggling with some health issues. But Lord, most importantly, our spiritual issues. And I pray that for those that are struggling with the sin disease, Lord, which we all do, that you would help us with your healing. And Lord, even in the cases of physical situations, I'm going to just simply pray today this way, that your will be done, Lord, but from our perspective, that they might be helped in their time of need. Lord, we pray for other issues that people may be struggling with today that have hindered them to come into this time of gathering this morning. We pray for our community around us, Lord, for our friends, neighbors, enemies, loved ones, children, whatever the case may be, Lord, that they would be drawn into a personal walk with you and that that might even start yet today. Now, Lord, as I go to, and we do pray, Lord, for our nation and the nations of the world, the peoples of the world, you died for every soul, Lord, who will receive you. All can be saved, can be delivered and rescued, and you are the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll help me in my feebleness today. I'm weak, but you are strong. I am not worthy to stand here before you this day. But Lord, it has been my calling and it is my privilege and my responsibility to stand before this flock today and bring forth the word of God. And just as Ezekiel said in his day, thus saith the Lord. And we must again process it. We'll either receive it, reject it, or not take heart in it, Lord, at all. But I pray that won't be the case today. Pray that you'll help me. Give me power to preach today again, one more time at least, Lord. And we do love you today. Forgive me, forgive us, Lord, I pray. Help us. Thank you for that victory that you won at Calvary's cross and for your nail-scarred hands that will be there through all eternity to remind us how much you loved us. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you recall last week, as I brought forth this message, I'll cut right to the chase about what it's all about. And what I'm talking about here is if you indeed are a genuine believer in Jesus Christ, and I do believe that there are believers like this. I illustrated this last week to a little extent. They have truly believed in Jesus Christ, but they are yet struggling in our world of sin that we live in today, as I am, as I stand before you today. I battle with this, but here's the key thing, folks, that we need to get straight about this, that Ezekiel, in essence, was given this message by God for Israel. By the way, Israel was not saved. Some in Israel were saved. They struggled like you and I do as well. But the message that God gave Israel was a warning that his grace and benevolence are not infinite in the sense towards the unbeliever or towards even a believer who is wayward from him. There are ramifications. There are consequences to our sin. The thing, as I said and began to say here, that concerns me about myself and possibly those of us in this room together this morning are that we indeed are genuinely blood-bought by Jesus Christ. We have been born again, but we're struggling with God's grace, maybe in a specific sin in our life or a sin in general, and we're saying, I'm headed for heaven. I've got hell insurance. I know I'm not going to hell because Jesus died for my sins and I have claimed that and believed in it and trusted in it. And yet I have this propensity that says, you know what, because of that, I'm going to continue to sin in a certain area in my life or a general area in my life. And we say, will God allow that to be blessed? And we answered that, didn't we, last week from Romans chapter 6. It cannot be blessed by God. I cannot stand before you today and tell you the depths of God's grace and how he works with all of us individually, because he does work with all of us individually. And so I have to be very careful about that, but yet very clear about that. And this is the point of the whole thing. If we are taking that for granted, if when we sin, it no longer is checked in our hearts. And by the way, it will be checked unless we quench the Holy Spirit. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, do we go on sinning that God's grace may abound? And he says, may it never be, God forbid. So this is what I'm hoping to illustrate to us today about that. Now, if you're here today apart from Jesus Christ, understand this, his grace is offered to you today for who all will receive it. But ultimately, in that situation, if we do not receive the grace of God, we have made a choice against the God of the Bible and against his love, his forgiveness, and his tender care as the great shepherd. And let me just say this as a warning to start before I go into the text of the message. We are indeed destined for an eternity in the lake of fire, because sin must be judged. Jesus was judged for our sin. But if you have not claimed his name, if you have not placed your sin under the blood of Christ, we will stand judgment for all eternity. God does not condemn us to the lake of fire. We condemn ourselves. But the prime point of this message today is, and I'm asking you for this, Lord, in my life, and maybe you are in yours, help me, Lord, to flee from sin, to pursue holiness, to trust you, and to get into that walk that Autumn sang about this morning, of you being the focus in my life and what you did for me, rather than me and what I want being the focus in my life. Israel struggled with this. Ezekiel was called of God as a watchman over Israel. Ezekiel struggled about this, but God told him, get out. I'm paraphrasing here. We'll see it in the text in a minute. God said, get out there and tell them. And folks, that's what I have to tell us today. We cannot condone sin in our lives. We must understand that we are treading on the grace of God. Every time we sin, in a sense, and we do it willfully, sure, there are sins of omission and commission, but when we do it willfully, in a sense, we put Jesus, what? Back up there on the cross again to forgive us when we know it should not be. I plead guilty to that. You need to make a plea on it as well. We all struggle, but Lord, help us that we get it right before it's too late. Now, today I'm going to switch my page here. I introduced last week that Ezekiel was pronounced to be the watchman over Israel. We'll look at that again, specifically over the kingdom of Judah. We know that God worked for a long time trying to get Israel to change. And he was still working. He never gave up on Israel, even after the things that came to pass here. When Babylon rolled over, Israel took them captive. They were dispersed, taken out of their land. But Ezekiel had a history and a purpose, as he was declared the watchman over Israel, with the message of the need to change, or what we would use the term, repent, to turn 180 degrees around from the path that we're on and back on a path that is focused on God in your life and in mine. Can we say today that the whole focus of our lives is on Jesus Christ and that everything revolves around it? I would have to say that hardly any of us probably would be able to genuinely and truly claim that today. So therefore, this message has relevance to the believer and the unbeliever alike in what is to be said here. A few of the things to understand that were pronounced here that were Ezekiel's responsibility and privilege in serving God is that not only was Ezekiel to warn the bulk of the southern kingdom of Judah about what was upcoming, but Ezekiel, as being a prophet and a priest to that southern kingdom, also was taken into captivity before the general population of the nation. And so he had a little special insight into this as time unfolded, as God showed him this. And I believe that he did allow him to go through this experience so that he knew what he was talking about and how to bring this to those that were still not yet taken into total captivity. So his warnings are from captivity to people in captivity of captivity, the coming captivity where Israel was going to be dispersed. He was taken into captivity before the majority of the people that he wrote to as a prophet and as a priest. Like all of us, when we're challenged for standing for the Lord, it can be a daunting challenge. It is a scary thing and a fearful thing to serve the Lord God, but it is also a most blessed thing. We find evidence of these things all through the book of Ezekiel. In fact, Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel and the writings of Ezekiel talk about several things in Israel. It talks about previous things that have gone on, the historical situations that the southern kingdom, in particular Israel in general, were facing. It talked about their present day situation that Ezekiel was writing about. But thank God, again, it also talks about the future of Israel. And here again, folks, whether it be Israel or us today, the future in God's hands is bright. I couldn't help but think that when we sang that little chorus this morning. Are we downhearted? I wondered what was going through all of your hearts this morning as we sang that. What do you think was going through mine? John, you're a little downhearted. John, when you see many seats empty in the church and the soccer field full and people not interested, is it easy to get downhearted? Yes, it is, when you don't see a response in the Christian community. And yet God answered prayers today, both here and at Moscow. God's still at work. And he'll work with those that are ready to work with him, is what it really comes right down to. So am I downhearted in that sense? I could be. But really, I'm not. And after I sang that chorus a couple of times, God spoke to my heart. He says, what are you down about, John? It's the same thing that's been going on ever since the fall of man. Get with the program. Preach the word. So I will do that. The second little sub-point of point two here today is that of God's judgment on the pagan peoples and the enemies of Israel and their common behavior and the similar behavior in Judah. And I just want to take one quick verse today, Ezekiel 32, verse 24. This is a small nation, again here, that is in southern Iran in that time, currently in Babylon, again. But you'll notice here, God sent Ezekiel messages about some of the surrounding pagan nations. By the way, Israel was nominally pagan too. But he was warning them what's happened and what's going on. Just look at 24. This is a nation called Elam. Elam. One verse, if you'll permit me. Excuse me. God tells Ezekiel, there is Elam. Here's an example. And all her multitude round about her, notice this, her grave, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, which are gone down uncircumcised or unredeemed, again, into the nether parts of the earth, into the pit, which caused terror in their land of the living. Here's the key to this verse. Yet have they borne their shame with them that go down to the pit. What's the consequence that God is giving to Ezekiel in this? He says, these are people that have been warned, but they did not receive the warning. They did not listen. They did not hear. And they have gone to destruction. Amen. Folks, that's what we're going to find in this core text that we're going to look at today. The warning's been given. I'm going to give it again today. I've given it already. How will it be received? Well, that's up to everyone here to process. And let me tell you something else, folks. It's up to everyone else in our community or even people that are a part of Fruitland Baptist Church. If they're not here to hear it, The blood's going to be on your hands, not on the hands of God's person that was called to deliver the message. And let me say, yes, I'm the pastor here, but that doesn't absolve any of you or anyone that's not here or anyone in the community from not taking the responsible actions that you have also to share this with other people. It's a serious situation. In the case of Elam, and we'll find in the case of Israel, they did not turn from their sin. A few did, but most did not. Well, after all this, and by the way, many nations, same thing today, all nations are in this same condition, and many people are as well. They did not repent, and they are headed for destruction. But thankfully, as I mentioned earlier, after these deliverances of God's judgment and the things that entail with that, there was also a future for Israel, because eventually they did repent. They will repent. They have not yet to this day, but they will at one day turn, and they will call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. May that be the case here today if there's someone apart from Jesus Christ. Turn around today. We're going to face him one way or another. Now let's go into our text in Ezekiel 33. No more turning today, I don't think. Ezekiel 33. And we find out here that Ezekiel is appointed as a watchman. I'm going to move through this rapidly, but I believe you'll see some similarities here and points maybe in your life and in mine and in the life of our nation and the nations of the world today in 2025. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, by the way, that word again, I believe, is a preposition. It's used a lot in our modern day speech. I've had Autumn appointed as the counter here a few times. If I say a lot when I'm speaking, if I'm over 10 in a message, you need to warn me about that. But I do use this word a lot in speaking because it's become common and it's not a good thing either. But again, but God says here, again, I've done what? Again means what? Repetition. By the way, we need to hear the word of God in repetition. Because sometimes it doesn't hit home, and sometimes it takes multiple times for it to hit home. Amen? Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, in other words, God's not finished here with the message that he wants Ezekiel to bring to Judah. And he says to him, and he was called here many times, Son of Man. By the way, that is a very unique pronouncement in Scripture. There's only one other character, I believe, in all Scripture who that was attributed to. Jesus. Jesus was the Son of God, but he was also the Son of Man, in a sense. Okay? In his deity and in his humanity. Son of Man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman... Remember, Ezekiel's the watchman. We need to have people watching over us, okay? In our national security and our personal security. By the way, the pastor is the under-shepherd of the flock. I have a responsibility to watch after you folks. It's not easy. It's the same thing here. God's illustrating through Ezekiel. He says, someone has to watch out for when the enemy attacks that you not what? Be caught off guard. That there be advance warning. Now, I'm not an expert on this. Doug probably has some things to add. But I believe today in our nation, where is he? Oh, he's a watchman. There you go. In our defenses here in the United States, we have some planes in the air today. We have... things going on in our nation, people that are watching for attack on us in advance, that we would be warned if that happened. We don't hear as much about that today like we did in the Cold War. But let me tell you something, folks. The threats nationally are just as relevant today as they were in the 60s and 70s, the height of the Cold War. But he's saying, Every nation needs to have someone appointed. Every person needs to have someone appointed over them that watches to warn them. That's the point that Ezekiel is receiving here from God. Verse 3. If when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be on his... Folks, there's a lot of people out there today. And we need to do everything we can to warn them, but there's a lot of people that don't want to hear the trumpet. They purposely don't want to hear the trumpet, even though they're headed for trouble. Verse 5, he heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall, in the King James here rendering, it says, shall deliver his soul. Friends, what have you been warned about in your life? I've been warned about a lot of things in mine, some of my health issues. A week ago, I had Kim help me to hook up a disc. I bumped my leg. It's okay. I mean, it has a little owie on it. But I've been told by people, John, quit. Oh, there's a lady sitting right here. We'll go with your flute for this. Kim needs to blow the flute. Yeah, we need to hear the warning. And I know that. And I know that I have. If I'm going to continue to do some of these things, I have got to say at times, I can't do it. Kim, tell them what we were doing. We were hooking up the disc, and we were struggling to get a half inch to get a pin to drop through the hole. And eventually, Kim could not get it. I walked to the back. She couldn't get it. I said, you go to the back corner and push the disc. She pushed it the wrong way. Anyway, isn't it the truth, though? It's one thing if I do something and bring about my demise from a health issue, but it's another thing from a spiritual sense that we don't take heed of the warning and end up in hell or end up before God with consequences where we are not rewarded as we could have been. He'll still love us. We're not, if you're a believer here, we're going to go to heaven. But are we going to go in the way we'd want to go? Pleasing Jesus. Having him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Or will it be something short of that? Let's go with the text here. Verse 6, but if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. We all struggle with different people in our lives. We struggle with family, with friends, neighbors, acquaintances, co-workers, whatever the case may be. But folks, we still, and we can't harp on them, but we still are obligated because of the love that Christ has for us and our love that we should have for them is to let them know a warning. At least if they've been warned once, maybe as we said there with the word again, maybe multiple times, but we at least have warned them. Have you and I done that this morning? Verse 7, so thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel, therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. I deal with a lot of stuff in my life, more than I want to. By the way, I need to get my bulletin out. See, when I get out of my routine here. We have a, how shall I describe this, a utility nightmare on our property out there at the farm. This last month, there has been new fiber optic cables plowed in from the phone company. By the way, we still have a landline, and we're in the phone book, in case you wondered. Oh, Marcus, do you know what a phone book is? I showed the Wilton phone book to some kids. I was in third grade, I think, that day. We were talking about phone security. Can you believe that? We're talking about computer and phone security to third graders. And there was a phone book hanging behind me, Mrs. Fitzer's class, and I said, look at here. Miss Kim and I have a name in it. They didn't even know what a phone book was. They said, well, they might call you. I said, yeah. That's how it used to be. The Wilton phone book is down to about 5 pages. And we're considering getting rid of the landline. Would anyone be angry if we do? But I don't know. We may not. But anyway, all these utilities running through our place. We have many things that we have to deal with and so forth. And we've had a few transgressions with people. Have taken some liberties that they shouldn't have. And I've had to deal with that. And you know what? We are accountable about things. And we need to hold others accountable is what I'm saying as well. But we need to do it in a right way. And some of you understand that. This is what God was telling Ezekiel. He says, it's not personal. It's what? It's principle. It's not personal. It's principle. So when we have to bring these hard things up to people, it is not a personal thing that we dislike them or that we are judging them, but it's a principle that as a believer, we need to let people know what's going on. And so I've used that term with the utility things a little bit when there's been some difficulties. And oh, let me tell you, all the different things that go through that property out there, gas lines, there's a six-inch high-pressure main. It'd blow your hat off if you hit that. Fiber optic cables, there's a transcontinental cable that's not on our place, but south of us that I've been told if you hit that cable, if you haven't detected it or, you know, called in a locate on it, you best be headed for Mexico. Because it's millions an hour if you cut that cable. Friends, there's no insurance to cover that kind of negligence. Anyway, verse 8. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. It is about people. It is personal. But in the grand scheme of things, it's the principle of where people are headed and their soul. Nevertheless, did I read that? Verse 9, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. What I'm saying about this, Christians, for those that are believers here, is we are complicit because of what we receive from Jesus Christ. We have a responsibility to warn others, to warn ourselves, and even about this issue of sin in our own people. Verse 11, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Did you hear that? But that the wicked turn from his way and live. That's what God wants. And God is willing not that none should perish, but that all should what? Come to repentance. Absolutely. Turn ye, God says through Ezekiel, from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? That's what God wanted from them. Verse 12, therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people. And what we're looking at here is kind of a complicated little bit in the text here, but I'll try to illustrate it here as briefly as I can. He's in essence saying, don't think you're going to get away with things, or that God is not fair about things, and you're going to come out at it with that angle. But understand this, in the grand scheme of things, God is just. So when you ask me today, how's God going to work and all? I don't know how he's going to work. He's put up with me yet, but that doesn't mean he'll continue to put up with me. He's continued possibly to put up with you today and our sin as believers even. But how long he will, I cannot predict that. Because we don't have the capability to know how God deals with us. But we do have the capability to know what? He does deal with us. And the book of Hebrews tells us that very clearly, that whom he loves, he He disciplines. Discipline, again, not meaning punish, but he has ways of getting us straightened out. That's the word in the Greek, orthos, to set a broken bone straight. And by the way, it could even include, the Bible says very clearly, he told Paul to turn people over to the, for the destruction of the flesh. To who? To Satan. Anyway, verse 12. The righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked. In other words, when we fall, as one who's been declared righteous by God, we're delivered eternally, our soul, from hell, but it does not mean that we're delivered from what? God's judgment and wrath and his discipline. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. These things are all in God's hand. His timing is above what we can comprehend. But we know that it is what? It is in his hand, and he will not forever not act upon it. That's why we're being warned here today about this, and why Ezekiel was being the warning for Israel. Verse 13, when I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to own his righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. What's God telling here to Ezekiel? I translate it like this. It only takes one time. But I think in my life it's been many times. Maybe in yours as well. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live. Did I just read that? Down to 14. And here we find this word again. Autumn, not an but a... Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die. If he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. The message here is, turn today if you're wicked. There's hope. Because this is the pattern that God has when people turn from their wicked ways. He blesses us. Or he likely will bless us. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. Folks, that's the message today. Turn! John! But now the sad part of this. See it there in 17? Yet the children of thy people, Judah, say, the way of the Lord is not equal, but as for them, their way is not equal. In other words, God, you're not fair. You're not doing this the way I want it done. Well, I'm here to tell you, folks, again, on the basis of thus saith the Lord, God is righteous. He has every right to do whatever he wants, however he wants. But I will tell you this, whatever he does will be righteous because he is righteous. We cannot place God in our terms. We must meet God on his terms. Verse 18, when the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. Here Ezekiel's he's being warned by God to Israel. He says, you don't turn from this, it can lead to what? It can lead to physical death. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not fair, not equal. O you house of Israel, I will judge you every one after his ways. And it came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, in the 10th month of the 5th day of the month, that one that had escaped out of Jerusalem came unto me. There was a remnant, remember, that was left there, even after the Babylonians had taken the whole thing. He came unto me, that's Ezekiel, and said, the smitty is sitting. The city is smitten. What did God do? He allowed them to be destroyed. Now the hand of the Lord was upon me in the evening. This is Ezekiel here in verse 22. Afore that he was escaped came, and he opened my mouth until he came to me in the morning, and my mouth was open, and I was no more dumb. What happened to Ezekiel after God gave him a lot of the messages and the directives to do with Israel? Some of you that have read the Bible, Ezekiel had his tongue stuck to the roof of his mouth for how long? 22 years. He had the message, but he couldn't speak it. God reserved that to a special time, and this is the time when he said, Ezekiel, it's time to what? To speak. He says there, I was no more dumb. In the modern terminologies here, he could speak now, but he was not an ignorant person. He had a lot of good things to speak. Sadly, today our time is withered away. Would you allow me to come back to finish this? The good stuff is next week. No, it's all good. But folks, I want to take you to the end of the book, or the end of the chapter, and we'll hit it next week, but to close with this. Well, I want to go to 31, please. No, I want to go to 30. This is what you'll face, and what I'll face, is a messenger of the truths of the Word of God. This is what I'm preaching this about, and why I believe God led me to it. Here's what God told Ezekiel, verse 30. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people are still talking. If you go into the Hebrew on that, about thee. But against is proper there too. They're talking about you. You're what? Controversial. By the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak to one another, everyone to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. This is sarcasm, by the way. He's no man of God. But he's sure controversial. We'll listen to him because we want to what? Maybe like some of you have roast pasture today. And they come unto thee as a people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. I'm not a perfect preacher, and you know that by far, far from it. But folks, how does the Word of God, whether it's I that preach it or one of your famous preachers, how does it resonate with you? Oh, it was a wonderful message. You know, when you tell me that kind of thing, I say, well, don't give me any credit. It's all the Lord's stuff. Don't ever forget that either. But what was going on is what I believe is going on with all my heart today. The messages have been preached, but the hearts did not receive the message. Their heart is really directed towards their own covetousness, about their agenda, not God's. That's not the case everywhere. But the messages have to be preached. And lo, and therefore, you could say that, thou art unto them as a very lovely song, one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words. Read it to me. Probably like some of you here at this time are saying, when will he be done? It's time to go. He's put me to sleep. I wasn't going to take a nap till after lunch. Here's the warning. We'll revisit this next week. And when this cometh to pass, and God told Ezekiel, and it will come. Notice. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. The Lord sent Ezekiel. The Lord sent a lot of people with a message. The key is, have people received the message? and acted upon it. We've been warned. We've been warned. The people were against the watchman. They didn't listen. But what God said came to pass. Back to the theme of our message today. Who today is gambling with God and with sin? Here's the message that God gave Israel and He gives us today. Repent. Turn around. If you're a believer and be restored to a walk with God, if you're an unbeliever here today, repent. Turn around. Acknowledge your sin is going to condemn you to eternal punishment if it's unforgiven in Christ, and receive Christ. And begin to walk with Him in a new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says we become a new creation in Christ. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Can you say that in your life today? That will be the evidence of your true salvation. Are you a new person in Christ? The other evidence will be if you and I are struggling with sin in my life, and I've already confessed to you that I struggle, but I know you do too. How will you handle it? Will you continue, if you're saved here, to say, I've got the fire insurance, the hell insurance, and keep on going? Or will today be the day that you acknowledge before God and say, no more. God, you convicted me of this. I'm going to yield to you today. I'm going to yield not to what Pastor John says, but to what your word says. I'm going to hear it today. That's the question today as we depart yet once again on May 4th, 2025, the year of our Lord. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand if you're able. 540. Maybe someone finds themselves in the category here of the title of this hymn, Almost Persuaded. Let me tell you something, folks, almost is not good enough in anything. Today, if the Lord's speaking to your heart, His throne is open. You don't have to make any public thing here in the gathering, but why not? As I tell you every week, I'm here for a reason. Come and join me. Are you persuaded today as a believer to get this set straight in your life, or as an unbeliever to bring Jesus into your life today and change you? Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go, Spirit, full thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call. We're going to sing the last stanza of that song today. Is there a more convenient time than now? Well, you may think that, but I think the Bible thinks different. God thinks different. He says today, we only operate in the present. We never rely on what may happen when we gamble with God in the future. Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes to last. Veil almost but to fail. Sad, sad the bitter wail. Almost persuaded. Brother Lonnie, would you dismiss us today in prayer? If you have a need today, talk to me at the door. I'd love to talk with you and help you.